Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together. Okay, hi, welcome. I want to say sunny Vancouver, but it's looking a little cloudy today.
Yeah.
I'm in British Columbia, and I am sitting with, okay, can I just be honest? I always call you Samantha.
Everyone does.
Do they?
Everyone does, yeah.
Can you explain where all the S's came from?
Okay, I have a snake.
Oh.
Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
But, I still have it, but it's at my parents' house. So it's not in the home.
What's the snake's name?
Tang.
Okay. I just like sometimes when there's a snake named like Peter. And I'm just like, that makes sense. And we're also sitting here with Alyssa.
Hello.
Tell me how you guys are like a thing, because I'm so excited. I just was on your podcast called Approachable.
Yes.
We just went through some major deep dives of things.
We did. We cried.
Tears were had.
I'm so sorry. I tend to do that. I did that to an Uber driver once. I don't realize the power sometimes that I have. Like, I feel like I'm such like a loosey-goosey, silly person. And then every once in a while, I get into these deep dive conversations. And this Uber driver was driving me in LA, and it was like 2 hours in traffic. And we're sitting there and we're talking about life and all this stuff. And I said to him, like, I wish somebody had told me that I didn't have to have it all together, that like life could really work out, that even when it like crumbles down to its foundation, that we can like rebuild a stronger one, and that we can like really rise out of these ashes of our former life. And he's just goes silent. And I'm like, oh. And then like nothing happens, and I see him do this. Then he's like, I feel like you were supposed to be in my Uber today. And I was
like, oh, okay. He's like wiping a tear away.
I know. And I like get out of the car, and I was like, I gave him a hug because I like didn't know what else to do. And then I was like, I said to my boss, I'm like, I just made the Uber driver cry. She's like, what did you do? And I'm like, I think I just gave an inspirational speech I didn't mean to do. I just love a deep conversation. But we really did that on yours. So how do you guys know each other? Tell me this story.
Okay, so
take her away.
I met Sam in a social studies class for the Americans, what they call it, just social, right?
History.
And so I was sat next to Sam, and we got paired up as like a meet and greet partner type of situation. And we kind of just clicked right away. Like I was obsessed with her.
Was she already online?
No.
Oh.
I was just.
This is way back.
She's very exciting. It's very exciting.
She's very exciting.
I just. The humor, the beauty, the grace. It's
oh,
all there.
Wow. Look at this.
Yeah, but yeah, so we met, and we were also in the same acting class. And so it was kind of like a double.
You were in acting class?
Yeah.
No wonder you're so great on YouTube. This is making sense. Okay, go on.
And we kind of just like formed this friendship over the course of our high school career, and we stayed in touch after high school as well. And then every time that she had like, I would say like a really big event with her social media and stuff like that, I would be there. And so I feel like we kind of kept meeting up and always stayed friends, but obviously we drifted a little bit. And then recently in October, I moved into her home, and I will never leave.
Stop it. You guys live together?
Yeah.
That's like my dream life. I almost like, so when my best friend and I met, I was working as a bar server. She was also there, and she was like very much what you described meeting Sam. Like I just like, first of all, I looked at her and I was like, how does anybody have eyebrows like that? Like she was just like this beautiful human. And I was like, and then she was nice. And I was like, what? Like, how is this a thing? Like beautiful people can be kind. Like, I don't know. I just had bad experiences. And so I really didn't understand. So we kind of met, and I was like so obsessed with her. And then I was going through this divorce, and then I met my husband, and like we worked together, so we were hanging out. So when we were dating, we kind of third wheeled, because I'm like, I'm not picking, like we're doing this together. So we third, and she's so good about it, because she's like loved third wheeling. And we still kind of do that, where we still have dinners and stuff together. But there was like a hot second of a moment where she almost moved in with us, or like moved in with me, and then like my husband lived like down the street, so we were gonna be like three's company, but real life. And then she moved in with her boyfriend, so it didn't happen. So this is like this is what I would like.
Yeah, it actually worked out really great. A lot of people were like, is this a good idea? And we were nervous about it, kind of, I think, too. We were like, is it? I don't know. But it's been awesome.
Do you guys like watch like reality TV and stuff together and like just sit on the couch and...
Unfortunately, Sam, I don't think shares the same love of cable as I do.
I don't have cable.
Okay, well, I need, like, I love cable so much. But Sam, like, we prefer to do errands together.
Yeah. Okay. We do a lot of productive things actually together.
So do you work together now as well? Like, well, besides the podcast?
No, I wouldn't say really. Podcast. Yeah, because I'm an aspiring actor and Sam has no interest. So,
she's kind of busy.
Yeah, but she did actually. She's like just chilling at home. But she did take me to my audition for my principal agent. So I guess so. And I did get it. Woo. Yeah.
What's that mean? But congrats. But what?
Yeah. So this is my podcast now.
Yeah. I'm okay with this. I don't care. You don't need to have a 2 million followers for me to want to hear your story.
Sorry, Sam. But
and that's a good message. Yeah. So a background agent is where you do background work. So, you know, like extras who like cross the street and stuff like that. Or in Friends, they're like sitting in the background drinking coffee.
Thanks for the Friends reference.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have a lot in common. Those are background workers, and so you have a background agent for that, and you kind of get like treated like shit and also don't get paid very much,
right?
But can I swear on your podcast?
Of course. Sorry. Why not?
And principal agents are the ones who get you like speaking roles or like in commercials or TV shows, movies, stuff like that. So it's just, and you get obviously more money per project and stuff like that.
So your star is on the rise.
Yeah.
We're manifesting it.
If you wanted a signature before you left, I wouldn't say no.
Oh. Ooh. Just kidding. I love this. Okay. So to be honest, Sam, I followed you for a really long time, but very superficially. Like,
that's okay.
No, I'm okay with it because you're really freaking pretty and you do makeup really well. And I'm okay with the fact that I followed you for those things. I found you on, we were talking about this. I found you on Pinterest like back in your silver hair days when I was like aspiring to have silver hair. And then I did it as well, but more like purple, but that's okay. But I want to hear it. Okay, first of all, in the last year, things have shifted for you and it kind of woke me up to a lot of like the deeper levels of who you are. And that's been really fun. But I kind of actually have no idea what your origin story is. Mm. Like, how the heck did you get into this? How the heck did this all happen?
Alyssa's heard this story so many times. I can recite this.
No, I never get sick of hearing it.
So when I was in high school, I started getting really, I was always like an artist kind of growing up, mm-hmm. and stuff into like drawing and painting. And then when I was in high school, I started getting really into makeup artistry. And then 2 weeks after I graduated, I moved to Vancouver from Kelowna. So it's like a 4-hour difference kind of thing. Moved to Vancouver and immediately went into makeup school. I was a working makeup artist, so I worked at MAC on and off. I was freelancing and stuff like that, doing like fashion shows, hair shows, photo shoots, different stuff like that. And then I was working at this like little boutique makeup store.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting fired from my job there. And it's such a long story. But,
okay, you don't have to tell it.
Basically, it was just, it was a really, like, crappy workplace.
Yeah.
And I always kind of had problems with the management. And then at one point, they were, like, talking really poorly about another one of our employees. And I stood up for her. And I was standing up for what was going on, basically. And then I got fired the next day. So.
I mean, real life.
Yeah, yeah. And so at that time I was at, 2000 followers on Instagram and I was just kind of like playing around with it basically.
How long would this have been?
It was almost 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So really early stages of Instagram and social media in that platform.
It was not anything like what it is now. Mm-hmm. Like if you had 100,000 followers, that was like, you were big fish.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was insane.
For sure.
And so I had 2000 followers at the time and I was living with my parents and I was just saying to them, like, I was like, I really feel like this is like becoming an industry and people are making money off this. And I want to try and figure out how, can I just take the month to try and like figure this out? And if it doesn't work, then I'll just like go back to work or whatever. And they were like, okay, sure. Begrudgingly. they weren't amped about it, but they were like, sure, whatever. So I took that month, and then at the end of that month I was at 10,000 followers, and at the end of that year I was at 1 million.
Holy crap.
But it was just honestly like it was a really, really good time for me to be getting in because mm-hmm. it was such a smaller group of influencers at the time.
Yes.
And the explore page was so different. Like everyone had the same explore page at that time.
Yep.
So everyone would log on to the same person. So if you were on the explore page, like that was just massive. So it was really easy to grow. And that's how I got started, and I've never left.
I think that's so important to talk about too, because there have been changes, and there is not the same as what it used to be. And I think it's also our behavior around it too. It used to be that we stepped on it and we only followed like the people we went to high school with or a couple different people, and suddenly we're like, oh, I get to follow this random person.
I don't even follow people I know. I'm like,
no, that's such an awkward experience when you're doing that. But yeah, like you go on, and I think we got really like happy, and we just like follow. Like we created who we wanted to follow, and it was like systematic at that time, so you could scroll through and see everybody's posts, and you knew when you got to the end of all the people you wanted to see. And then things changed and they shifted, and you realize like following 1,000 people is actually a lot of work. So now we really hold on to the people that we follow.
Yeah.
But because you were so early on in it, people kind of like invested.
Oh, I got my hooks in.
You got your hooks in. So you went from that. When did YouTube start for you?
So I probably started on YouTube like maybe a year-ish after Instagram kind of thing. Okay. Because a lot of people were asking for it. But I didn't really commit mm-hmm. to YouTube until like the past like year, maybe 2 years.
And you're close to 1 million subscribers on there as well.
You're getting there.
Yeah. I know, it's funny. I was reading this kind of going into my next question, because one thing I really love and respect about you is kind of like your honesty and grit about the industry.
Oh, thanks.
It is one of those things that people don't want to talk about. Yeah. I don't know why. It's such a growing industry too. So I don't understand quite why we're so secretive about it, or why there's shame around, you know, I read this thing recently that was like, sometimes we disregard like quote unquote the influencer lifestyle and like what they're doing, because we don't recognize like women have always been capable of being really creative in how they earn an income, and this whole platform has basically been built and kind of cultivated by women who have been using their creativity in their own homes, in their own personal talents, and sharing them with the world, finding the people that connect with it, and like creating an baseline income out of it. And it looks very diverse for everyone, but you kind of got like, you spoke out on it a little bit. I actually read this article about you in Vanity Fair. I don't even know when it came out, but it talked about how like your honesty around it. Why was that so important to you?
I think because I really believe it's like everyone is kind of guided by their values.
Yes.
And my like biggest value is just like doing what I think is right. Mm-hmm. And so that's how my parents have always been. That's how I was kind of raised and stuff like that. And for me, I just didn't feel like there was any need to be secretive about it. I didn't feel like there was any reason why, you know, we shouldn't be honest about the fact that we were getting paid, that we were getting sponsorships, because that also, you know, that lends to this idea that we shouldn't be paid for our work, when that's never the case. Like, there's no one that should be working and not being paid. So, you know, I didn't want to, you know, give any more power to that idea either. And I think for me, at the end of the day, this is new. Mm-hmm. This industry kind of grew around influencers, and this business is still, you know, it's still having all the pieces of it put together. And because of that, when you watch TV, you know you're watching a commercial. Mm-hmm. You know it's an ad. You know it's someone trying to sell you something. But people don't know that when they go on Instagram. They're not as conscious and as aware that they're seeing a lot of advertisements and stuff like that. And again, it's just, to me, I feel like you're doing right by your followers if you're able to be transparent and be like, hey, sponsored, whatever kind of thing. And you're also reinforcing that idea that, like, yeah, you're doing a job.
You're doing a job and you deserve to be doing it. And yeah. I found for me it was very isolating, and I didn't realize how much brands would take advantage of like your influence as well. I mean, I was a struggling single mom. I shouldn't say struggling. Like, I was in a season of like, it was hard. It was harder. Yeah. Like, there wasn't a lot of money coming in. And I had this platform that was growing, and I felt really taken advantage of by brands who were just like, we'll give you $100 to like post this. And I didn't understand. To me, it felt like I needed this. This was like something that would help me. And I was so like indebted to the brands themselves, instead of recognizing and honoring the fact that like, they are so lucky to have this ability to come and tap into my community and audience. I saw it more like I can get paid, and less of like, how can I actually utilize the influence that I already naturally have into something that can be an honest way of influencing. And I think there is such a difference, especially like, you know, I was asked to do some really shady stuff as well. And there's some things that like, I definitely took on stuff that reflectively, I think many of us feel when you feel like a little bit gross about it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I think we've all been there, and you realize it's not really worth worth it.
Yeah.
And but not everybody always has that, like, they're not always at that same point and curve. But the disclosure part's like really important. And a lot of times people, even like, they don't understand, like, many of us can't actually afford the real lifestyles that we're projecting. It's more just like we're reviewing stuff. So when you're reviewing stuff, of course we have like a ridiculous amount of like free things that come in. And there's one beauty blogger that I follow, the blonde man, she's in Toronto. Ugh. Do you love her?
I love her. I love her.
But she's so like, this is something I would actually rebuy. Like, this is like, yeah, the things I'm going to rebuy this month. These are the things that I'm going to like invest in. And she's very big on like disclosure as well around like the hashtag gifted. And when you first started seeing that around, people were like, wait, what? Like, what does, mm-hmm, that even mean? Like, you're gifted? Like, no. This was gifted. People need to understand like that we're not just like constant consumers and making $1 million and doing all these things. No, brands are sending you things. They're sending you things on the off chance that you might use them or expose them a little bit. And at the same time, like, we're honoring that influence. I tell my kids all the time, if you have one friend and you went and talked to them about this new Lego set you had, guess what? You just influenced. Like, that's what you did. So to degrade the fact that like you've built something on an authentic talent or creativity and then take it and be like, you shouldn't be paid for this. Well, then we don't get the 99% of what you and I do or all these other millions of people in the world who are doing it. We don't get all that free stuff. Like, we don't get the free makeup. Yeah. I wouldn't know how to do my makeup if it wasn't for makeup tutorials on YouTube. My child is like so freaking talented in doing like all the cosplay stuff because she has like the ability to tap into a source. Like, she didn't get to go through the awkward blue eyeliner phase that I went through in grade 7.
And they should. It's a rite of passage.
They should do a little bit of stuff. Like, they gotta, I think they just
pick up a dream matte mousse at the very least. Like,
no, do you remember?
Oh my gosh. Oh,
I couldn't forget. No, do you remember the Almay? It started as like a white cream.
Oh, the and smart then shade. The smart shade.
I never tried it. Did it work? I never understood the color matching things. We're just never.
I think it just went to a color when it oxidized.
Yeah, it just.
I think that was the chemical reaction.
It was just like orange. My gosh. Everything was orange.
It was a lot. I don't know. It's like such a thing. I don't know. I really appreciate that. I think that it was funny when I was reading this article about you, they were calling you like gritty and outspoken. And I was like, or maybe she's just telling the truth. Like, maybe that's reality too. So I think it's like it's a double-edged sword. On the one side, we want people to be more supported in this community. We want people to understand that it's okay to like empower that fellow woman that you follow online to be okay with them earning an income.
Yeah.
Doing what you want them to be doing because you're benefiting from it. And at the same time, giving that disclosure around like, hey, like, I actually can't afford this vacation, like, real life. Like, this was sent to me, or I'm going on this from, you know, this gift from a different company. Like, there's a lot. There's a benefit to both sides. But you're right. Like, there's not a lot of, like, it's not like a normal ad. We're not just, like, suddenly seeing, like, you know, a Dasani commercial in the middle of our Friends episode. It's like a totally different thing. Actually, if you rewatch Friends, like, it's so funny. They were totally sponsored by Dasani at one point because they stop like mid-sentence and will like take a swig of it. And you remember like when advertising struggled, they started to go into new realms of like, how can we survive? Like, how can we, like, as brands, how do brands survive in a space where we're not watching commercials anymore? So they started getting really, really creative as well. So they, from streaming, now they have like product placement, and there's product placement in shows and stuff that we watch on Netflix. And then now when you go on Facebook, you have to scroll and you see, like, every once in a while you see like an ad of something. And the same thing kind of happens on Instagram. Like, the brands need to survive as well. And with one really cool thing that I think is amazing about the social media impact is a lot of smaller brands are getting like
so much exposure that they normally wouldn't, or they'd normally have to pay so much to get there.
Yeah. And they're able to kind of like, if somebody has a platform in which they're like, hey, like, I got this, you know, romper from Smash and Tess in Vancouver, like, they've kind of blown up from just like gifting to certain people that have worn them and reposted it. And everyone's like, holy crap, those rompers look comfortable. And now they're like this huge, huge, huge brand in Canada. I don't even know if they are in other parts of the world. But I mean, I just think it's like such a fascinating relationship, and there's a lot of threatening feelings around sharing that information too, as if there's like not enough pie to go around, when we all know like the pie is just getting bigger. So it's totally okay to like share with somebody how the heck you can do this.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, because I've actually a lot of the times I get backlash for being forthcoming about it, even though people are demanding that more and more. People are wanting that transparency. But when I am being transparent, a lot of people are like, well, you sure think you're holier than thou. And I'm like, no,
no,
it's literally the exact opposite. I'm just trying to make this more transparent so that you guys don't have the wrong impression of what's going on and you guys can see it for what it is.
100%. Now, there's also a lot of FDA guidelines around it now, too, that require us to put that hashtag ad or hashtag spawn in it so that we show that, you know, it is something that's being paid. So I'm glad that the industry is kind of catching up in the sense of making sure disclosure happens. But yeah, there's definitely a long way to go. And I appreciate that you've kind of been part of that honesty. But kind of speaking in the realm of honesty, one thing that you've done in the last year, and you made an announcement about it, which was interesting because it made everyone kind of like wake up to it, I think, as well. You stopped body editing.
Yeah.
Can you kind of go through what inspired you to that decision and how has it been for you?
So, okay, it was inspired from a conversation that I was having with Alyssa, because we were talking about how all the time we look back at old photos of ourselves and we're like, oh, like I looked so good then, my body was perfect, like I had such a, like my waist was so much smaller, like I'd lost so much weight, whatever, without remembering that we had edited that photo. And so we were looking back to a time where, and we talked about this on our podcast, yeah, a little bit, you know, we were looking back to a time being like, oh, I was so perfect then, but we weren't happy then, like we, yeah, weren't proud of our bodies, we weren't impressed, and that's why we were editing them. And so I think that for me, it got to a point where I was like, you know, I'm tired of feeling like I'm comparing myself to a body I never had.
Mm.
And I wasn't happy then anyways.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. And I wanted to do it more so for myself because I do think it's important. I think it's important to have that personal journey of being like, okay, like I need to just accept this because this is my only body. Like this is the only body I'm ever going to get. So, I mean, I can do everything in my power to change it as much as I want to change it, but am I going to be happy still? Probably not. So I'd rather be happy now and know that through all the ebbs and flows of what my body will become over time, I started to accept myself earlier rather than later.
And how has it been in response?
Oh, it's scary.
Is it scary?
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of male followers?
Not a ton. They're about 25% now.
Okay.
Yeah, which is more than I ever had. Like, I used to have more, like, 7. But it is scary. It's scary for me because, like, I still don't accept my body. So to put it out there and, yeah, basically be like, here you go kind of thing. And it's hard for me even to, you know, because I know on your page you have so many people being like, wow, like, you're so inspiring. I feel so much better about my body. When I get comments like that, I'm almost, like, hurt by it.
Yeah, because it's, like, still, like, a sore spot almost.
Yeah, and, like, there's people that have messaged me being like, oh, like, you know, I think we're similar weights. And, like, I always feel so gross, but, like, now I feel better. And I'm like, but that doesn't make me feel better. You know, like, that doesn't make me feel – because, first of all, I feel like you're putting me on a pedestal now, mm-hmm, of being this person for you to look to. But secondly, I'm like, you know, you're basically saying that you don't think you look good, but you think I look like you.
Yeah. I've always felt crap about myself, and then I saw somebody like you, and now I feel better about myself, and you're like, wait, what? Like, yeah, was that a compliment sandwich? Like, I don't even know what happened.
Yeah.
Very relatable. Hear that very much. It's also, do you get people who kind of dismiss it and say, like, you don't have, like, you're not valid, like, you have a dream body? Like, I think that's initially one of the things that I'll be fully honest about. Like, I think that when you kind of shared some of those struggles, I was like, what? Like, how? Like, you're, yeah, so perfect. But it kind of removes that validation of, who cares if I think it was perfect? If you didn't feel that, that's still valid. And that's something you were going through. Have you found that, like, people are kind of dismissive about your experience as well?
Yeah, I definitely feel like that's been part of it, of people being like, well, like, you're still, like, white and skinny and blonde and, yes, whatever kind of thing. And, you know, and it's like, I do understand, because I also sometimes look at other people and I feel the same thing. Like, we had recorded a body, like, image podcast that we actually ended up scrapping because we knew that you were going to come on. But in that, I talked about, you know, Jamila Jamil.
Oh, love her.
I love her too. But, you know, like, I look at her and I'm like, this is so, it's so hard almost to hear from, yeah, you, because you are so perfect and you're a model and you're so skinny. And, like, you know, even when you're trying to be relatable, it almost misses the mark for me, because it's just so far from what I feel like my struggles look like.
Yes.
And for me, like, that's how people are going to perceive me as well, because they're like, you're so far from what my struggles look like, and so on and so forth. And there was also, like, a group of people that were like, oh, okay, so you got rich and famous, so to speak, from editing your body, and now that it's cool to be relatable, you're going to stop.
Yeah, and that kind of, like, takes away your journey and your experience through how much social media has truly changed and, like, the fabric of it has changed. And I think when you look at someone, the reason why I love – I never can say her name, and I feel like you just said it, like, Jamila?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. I think that's right. It's not like SSS Samantha.
not quite as easy. It doesn't roll off the tongue the same way.
I didn't realize it was a Samantha. I would just feel like SSS Samantha. Okay. But the one thing I do like about her is the fact that, like, she does. And I think I have to tap into this a little bit too. There is part of us that I think we understand the fact that, yes, we are white and blonde and privileged because we live in thin bodies. And therefore, there is somewhat, like, with privilege, it often becomes very uncomfortable because you're like, do I get to talk about fat bodies? Do I get to talk about women of color? Am I allowed to? This is very uncomfortable for me. So the one thing I do really like about Jamila is that she speaks for all. Yeah. And I think it is sometimes hard hearing it from someone like her because you're just like, at first I felt like, wait, what? Like, you look so perfect. What are you talking about? Like, how do you, she talks about, like, not dieting and not going to the gym. And I was like, must be nice. Like, cause that's like our internal is like, oh, great. So I'm just going to, like, struggle to, like, maintain, like, a medium body and you can just, like, do nothing and be a size small. But it goes right back through to that, that thinness and, like, that, celebrating of, like, that certain size and that certain shape and, like, that different body and how that one must be better than ours because ours is different. And yeah, I learned so much around, like, the whole privilege thing because I felt so uncomfortable about it. And now I'm like, it's, I feel like it's a, I'd rather be uncomfortable and be a little bit wrong than not say or acknowledge it at all, because yes, there is a huge part of, like, the reason a lot of people in the body positive space are being accepted is because they're still thin identifying.
Yeah.
And one thing I think that's so crazy is when we start to actually look into the fashion industry and why we have such body dysmorphia, because, like, a size 6 woman is plus size. Well, yeah. What does that say to a plus size woman when she's seeing a size 6 girl wearing her clothes in the ads? And what does that say to the size 6 girl who's literally every single time she sees her picture, she's like, oh, I look plus size. Well, and why is that even, like, a negative thing? Like, you start to just, like, what? Like, it just becomes super crazy. So, I mean, it's so interesting watching you kind of, like, go through this journey. It was funny because I remember when you posted one of these pictures and somebody actually, it was a dude, and he made, like, a negative comment on it. And I've never been so effing mad. I was just like, oh, frig. I was like, how could you even, I don't even know what they said to you, but it, like, you had been so clear about the fact that you weren't editing your body. It was such a beautiful photo. And I think you were, like, in red lingerie. And I mean, it was just, like, to every single eye, I think, looking at it. And here was, like, this man coming on to be like, oh, you don't look like what I wanted you to anymore. Like, mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. How do you, like, has that been in terms of, like, I suffer a lot from, like, social media anxiety. As much as I love the platform and I think it's amazing, negative comments can really take a toll.
Oh my God. Oh, of course.
Do they still hurt you?
Oh my God. Yeah, of course. Like, I think that now physical kinds of comments don't bother me that much because I'm like, okay, you got nothing on my own freaking internal. I'm like, don't worry.
Yes, girl.
But I, like, it's like, you know, like, you aren't going to say anything that I haven't thought about my own body. And, like, I've been going through this journey anyways. So for me, like, I have a harder time when people attack my integrity or my intentions.
Right.
Because you're questioning my character then, which I take very seriously.
Like, as you know, should.
That's a huge part of my career. And honestly, like, I pay for the fact that I choose to have integrity every day.
Oh, yeah. You think I can't even – I, like, turn down random things. I can't even imagine what you must turn down in terms, like almost because understanding that, like, your integrity at the end of the day is what's going to help you sleep at night. Like,
well, and you know, it is what people come to expect from me. I mean, there's the people that are always going to think that I'm not – that I have no integrity, and that's fine. But the people that do know me,
mm-hmm.
they know that that's who I am. So for me, I'm like, it's not really worth any amount of money for me to do something that I wouldn't genuinely – to promote a product I wouldn't genuinely use.
Right.
Or whatever. But going back to negative comments, I remember when I was quite young, like, this was in the very, very beginning of my career. I was about probably 19 or 20. And I for the longest time, I had a really hard time with not wearing makeup. And I would, like, even when I was having sleepovers with, like, Alyssa or, like, boyfriends and stuff like that, I would sleep, like, with, like, full, like,
were you this. Like the Kristen Wiig and Bridesmaid where she'd get up and do her makeup and be like,
no, I wouldn't even do my makeup. I would go to sleep like this with full makeup on. Like, I would sleep with my lashes on and stuff like that. And then I would get up and touch it up. But, like, I would never let anybody see me without makeup. And even like when, like this went into my 20s, like I would, if when I was moving in with boyfriends and stuff like that, I would still go to bed with foundation on and like contour
really?
And stuff. Yeah, because I was so self-conscious about it. And I remember the one day I was getting all these comments being like, I wish I look like you. And I felt guilt around it. And so I was like, I'm going to post like a before and after of like my face without makeup, and my face with makeup. And my heart was literally racing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I could cry just thinking about it because I was so terrified to post this photo. And I did not, it was not a photo where I was like, yeah, I look good in the before. Like, I was embarrassed. Embarrassed of the before. I posted this photo and it received really good feedback. And then somebody took that and posted it onto like a men's humor page on Facebook. And they were like, like, can you imagine going to bed with the right and waking up with the left kind of thing?
Oh, my gosh.
And I was so devastated because, like, all the comments were just, like, all of these people, like, ripping. And I really, like, I do not care about, like, male opinion whatsoever, like, at all.
I know,
all.
But that's still just, like...
It was horrible because I was, like, you know, it took me so much to post that. And that was meant for my audience. That mm-hmm. was meant to be posted in context for my audience to be something that I was doing to be, like, don't say that you wish you looked like me when you don't even know what I look like. Like, you're not even, you know, like, don't worry about it. Don't think that, like...
Yeah. You did it to kind of, like, to protect your character a little bit there and, like, show that that integral side and, like, that realism to around it all. Like, and I don't... Like, I actually really love that about you, but... And now you've gotten, obviously, a lot more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Now it's, like, very real. How is, like... In terms of, like, your growth and stuff like that and stuff, do you find that that's been a positive twist to be able to share a lot of that, a lot more people relating to maybe your cosmetic artistry or anything like that because they understand now that you maybe didn't wake up as a flawless human?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been positive for myself to kind of get more comfortable with seeing my bare face, with, like, letting other people see my bare face and stuff like that. Like, and that's been something that's been really liberating because now I'm not embarrassed to go leave my house without makeup on and stuff like that. I don't care anymore. And that has been, like, it was honestly, like, it sounds ridiculous, but, like, it was, like, debilitating at one point because it was just so time-consuming to be constantly worried. Like, I couldn't go to the beach and, like, swim without having my full bag of makeup there because I was going to touch up my face and, like, I was going to swim with full lashes on and stuff like that.
This is in, like, grade 10. Like, we were 15 years old and I remember not even being able – there was, like, a gas station close to our high school and Sam didn't want to walk there because her eyes would water and then so her makeup would, like, run or her eyelashes would pop off and, like, the whole swimming thing, it 100%, that was a thing that we – like we all knew and mm-hmm. came to expect, but I can't imagine because I would be jumping into the water with our friends and then Sam would just be trying to like float there. And it's like, I can't imagine having to deal with that anxiety around makeup so young.
Yeah.
And I don't think that people recognize that.
Do you think, so coming back to, I made a post about this yesterday and someone was really like, this is the problem with makeup and how it's perpetuated this idea that we need to like look a certain way or have these contours to our face and all this stuff. But I'm like, damn, like, I don't know how to, like, I don't know how to even answer that because I actually really love makeup and, like, I love the creative side of it and, like, there's something so amazing about it. But if you were to go back and kind of talk to your 15-year-old self, like, do you know how and why, like, that became sort of, like, an anxiety for you? Was there, like, a tipping point or is it something that you just kind of reflect back on and say, like, I grew away from that and...
I think that I just was self-conscious and I think that when I started getting into makeup, it started because of artistry and because that was where I was starting to express myself creatively, but it became something where I was like, oh, I feel so much better. I feel like I look so much better. And then it was kind of something where I wasn't wearing a little bit of makeup. I was wearing a lot of makeup and for my age, especially, I was wearing a lot and I was wearing fake lashes to school every day. And so to think about having to... you know, like, it's almost like now this is like the vision of myself that I portrayed. And so if I show up with just mascara on, people mm-hmm. are gonna be like, what the fuck?
Like,
what?
Like, that's like, not you. She's a fake. She's a
fraud. And,
like,
and I wanted to, I mean, obviously it's ridiculous. People know you're wearing makeup, but like, I wanted to portray myself as always looking this way and that like, I always looked as good as can be kind of thing. And so it was like, just, it was absolutely terrifying to think about people seeing me some other way. And it's difficult because people do have this opinion about makeup where like, this is, they think it's, you know, like superficial and all this kind of stuff, but you're not really looking at the nuance of the situation because for me, that's what makeup was originally. Mm-hmm. Well, originally it was artistic, and then it became something superficial where, like, I couldn't live without it. And it did, you know, mess with my own opinion of myself and my vision of myself. But for other people, it is just fun.
Yeah.
And so I think that to put this blanket statement on makeup and say, like, this is just inherently bad, it's bad for you because that's your experience, and because it makes you feel less confident, makes you feel less comfortable, and makes you feel like you're not enough without it. And I do think that, you know, women are expected to look a certain way, and that's really unfortunate. And, you know, a lot of times people are perceived as not being, like, put together if they don't have their makeup, which is insane because, again, that would never happen with, like, men. Like, that would never
they can
be...
put on a blazer and it doesn't matter. Everything and you're else like,
oh, you,
matter.
You clean up nice.
Whoa, look at you. You, like, literally rant. Like, my husband in the morning, he gets ready, he just, like, puts his hand under the water and then he runs it through his hair. And I was like, what? How is that a thing? Like, are you kidding me? Like, every once in a while he blow dries his beard, and that's, like, the most I see. Like, I and it bothers me a little bit because it's I really care about skin and skincare, and I'm like, how are you just going to bed without, like, toning and, like, moisturizing your face? Like, and so then he, like, lays in bed and I, like, go over with, like, a makeup pad, and I, like, go and I wipe his face clean and I put moisturizer on. I'm like, I feel like you're just doing this now because you just, like attention. But oh my gosh, like, it for me, it's I like the artistry part of it, but I also found it was really cool in my self-care. Like, back, I didn't have the experience where I wore a lot of makeup as a teenager. I kind of was like, I don't know, I was like the bigger girl, and I kind of relied on being humorous and whatever, and I wore like wet hair and a bun and like barely any makeup to school, and I was fine with that. But when I was going through the journey of like my weight loss and stuff, there is this one thing that really woke me up to the fact that if I woke up in the morning and I did something that made me feel confident, I acted more confident throughout the day, and that has never changed. Like, regardless of like it, I no longer identify my worth in it, but if I like wake up in the morning and I'm in like sweats and I'm in like no makeup, that's an announcement that I'm not being productive that day. Mm. I might hop onto my emails and stuff. I might like annoyingly have to do some things, but that's not me being productive. There's something about like that mindset mode of like pulling like yourself. Ready, yeah. Like there is something and yeah, like it's not the same for everybody. And I think that's why it's so hard when we start to say like, you know, like makeup isn't like makeup's the problem or makeup's this or makeup's that. Like, no, like I think it can be different for everybody. Like you said, it might identify or register differently for everybody, just like everything does, right? Like some people might be eating a salad because they don't feel like they're worthy of eating a burger. And some people might be eating a salad because they just actually really like salad.
Yeah.
There's only like one salad in the world that I super love, but that's fine. I'm slowly like, I prefer like a bowl, like if it has like a rice base and like I want like some more to it. Like salad, I always feel like I just load it up with things, like it might as well be spaghetti on top of it.
It doesn't become like healthy.
It's not
a
salad. It's not a salad. Just kind of looking at everything you're doing, so you run this Instagram, you have a YouTube now, and now you've just launched this podcast, which I think is gonna, you guys have such a chemistry, like I have to say, like obviously it's very rooted, but it's no it's very authentic and very charming. And it's funny like sitting here because I think when you follow somebody online, it's like easy to kind of put them on this pedestal and like dehumanize them a little bit. And I think that's why we get into this, why troll comments happen so easily, or why we're so like available to some of the negative comments or opinions that kind of happen like objectively, as if you're no longer like a person. But like sitting here in this room, like you guys are like such girls, like you must know that, like it's so, I don't know, it's so refreshing. Like, you know, when you're like, I've met like one time I met somebody that I followed online that was like a YouTuber that I love, and I like was at an event and she was at it as well, and I like chugged a drink and I was like, I have to go up and say something. And I went up and I was like, I told myself that if like you were here tonight that I would have to come up and like shake your hand, like I absolutely love what you're doing and you're so cool and so funny, and like just had to say I love you. And she was just like, oh, thanks. And I was like,
yeah. Okay, bye.
How do I just like vroom, 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 out of the room here? Like, I wanted to die. And it made me realize that, like, some people don't transcend the same way. And some people are like this, like, pleasant surprise. And that is you. Like, you are like, I think you're almost even better in real life, which is kind of crazy. Just gonna say that. If anybody like wants to have the experience of me right now, I'm like sitting in your house and little sweet little dogs. I mean, it's just nice. It's nice to see somebody who's like killing it in the world, but also so relatable and so down to earth. And I think you're doing that really well. But I don't think that that's a normal experience for everybody. How with everything going on, you've got this Instagram, you've got the YouTube, you've got the podcast coming out. How do you keep it together? What is your self-care like? How have you managed to survive?
I don't keep it together.
Oh, okay. So refreshing. Yeah. I was like, do you have anxiety attacks? I have anxiety attacks.
Yeah,
I take ashwagandha every day.
Yeah, I definitely don't keep it together at all. And I try to be like as like forthcoming with that as I possibly can. But, you know, people also don't respond well to that because they look at my life. It's the same thing with body positivity and stuff like that. They look at your body and they're like, well, your body's what I want. And people look at my life that way and they're like, well, your life is what I want. But they don't
know.
How dare
you complain?
Yeah. And so when I say things like I have really, really bad depression and, you know, I'm not keeping it together, people are like, well, I'd kill for what you have.
Yeah.
So why aren't you? And for me, like I have like a very self-destructive kind of mentality around things because I'm like, I don't want help. I want to do this on my own. I don't want to have to rely on other people. So I turned away from things like therapy and things like antidepressants and stuff like that, which I've really needed. Like I've needed in certain moments because I just was like, no, that's weak. Yes. And I don't want to have to need that. Like I want to be okay on my own. And so last January, I had like one of the like worst depressive states of my life. I couldn't get out of bed. I was having a really hard time showering. Working was like not even like I was calling my manager being like, Jess, like I can't do this. Like I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. Like, please stop booking me for things. I can't do it. Like, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
And I at that point ended up going to therapy, and now I've been doing that consistently, so I go every week. Ended up going on antidepressants and stuff like that, which for me, like, it's really hard to keep up with self-care beyond those two things, because like I know that like yoga and going to the gym and stuff like that makes me feel better. I know that eating better makes me feel better, but those things are really hard for me to keep up with because I still have this moment where I'm like, I feel guilty doing these things for myself when I know that I should be working, so to speak, because with social media, the amount that you put in is exactly what you get out. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm not committed enough to all of these things, I'm not going to be more successful. I'm not going to make more money. I'm not going to, you know, grow and all of this kind of stuff. And it's hard because I am already at a disadvantage because I choose to operate with integrity, because I won't take everything that comes my way. I'm turning down work and turning down work and turning down work when I can't really afford to be doing that. Like I should be taking it, but so it makes me feel really guilty to go and take that time for myself when I feel like I should be.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like I went through a meeting with my naturopath. We had all this stuff going on with my body. I couldn't figure out why I had all this like symptomatic weight gain, and you know, I wasn't sleeping and my sex drive was all over the place, and I went and sat down and we did like months of tests, like blood work and urine tests and all this stuff, and at the end we sit down and she's like, well, we have results. And I could feel my eyes like stinging, like, but I was like waiting for like, what's the relief? What's the pill I get to take? Like, I'm going to be fine. And then it was basically like, your body's on the brink of a breakdown. And I was like, what? And she's like, your stress is off the charts. And like, just to be clear, I have 300,000 followers, not 2 million. And that's like not nothing, but like, you're right. It is really hard when you're like at the top of your game, quote unquote, and like you're doing all these amazing things and it's good things and it's stuff you love, but it's still too much. And it's really scary when like people are creating this message of, you know, you hustle for success and like, you know, busyness is now like glamorized and glorified. Like if you're like the busy mom and like a mom boss and like an entrepreneur woman, like all these different things, and it becomes this expectation that if you don't hustle, you don't succeed. And then there's also this side message of, oh, this is only going to last for a while. Like you never know when this will be done. So you might as well make as much as you can because you're not going to have this like in 5 years from now. I think what happens is it starts to create this fear as if everything we've done is only about like what that number of followers is, when we know full well at the end of the day, what we've created and what like you've done, especially, I mean, you're a videographer, you're an editor, you're like a makeup artist, you know, you're quote unquote an actress, potentially, apparently went to school for it. I mean, you do all these things and we degrade it down to you were an influencer and that's like just all it is. And like, what if that gets demonetized? Well, actually, we're going to walk away with a killer resume of stuff that you're able to do. But for you, like, what would that, what's your career high? Like, if you, if this were all to end tomorrow, let's say that you just are like, done, I'm done forever, which you're totally allowed to do. Like, I know you've taken breaks before, but what would, like, looking back in a positive way, what have been your career highs?
I think, honestly, like, it's so, this is not going to be a satisfying answer, but I think that for me, the best thing is taking the emphasis off of my career for me.
Huh.
Because I've struggled with this throughout my entire career, because everyone has looked at my accomplishments and been like, wow, like, that's so great. That's so amazing. I can't believe it. Like, you've done so well, blah, blah, blah. And, like, people kind of talk up my accomplishments. But to me, those didn't feel like accomplishments. Like, those didn't feel
Did
like...
Did you not have a lipstick that came out?
Yeah. But you know, even stuff like that, I mean, it was something where I was like, this is really cool. This feels really full circle. Yeah. But it wasn't feeling in my body what it was seeming like to these other people. And so, you know, that was leading to even more guilt and stuff like that. And I think for me, like, I really had to feel actually proud of these things, to feel confident, to feel like more content with what I had built for myself, I had to actually take that emphasis off of my career and say, that's not everything that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so many other things. There's so many other things outside of that that make me happy. And so when I started focusing on actually like the external parts of my life that have nothing to do with social media, that's when I started looking back at my life and being like, wow, I'm actually really proud of what I built. But that's separate from the other things that
is
fantastic.
One pillar of me. I was like talking to a therapist the other day, and she explained things about like pillars, like you have anxiety, but that's not like who you are. Like, that's a pillar of your life. And you have this, but that's a pillar. Like, you have like all these pillars, but they're not like what makes us up as like a complete whole. And I could totally be misquoting, but I really liked what she said, or what I just like analogize that into. But yeah, I think that's really crazy, and I think that's important to note, because, you know, me objectively looking at you, I'd be like, oh, but you had a lipstick come out, like, that's like got to be a career high. I totally expected like something like that to be the answer. But I think coming through it, there's obviously moments of pride and like, this is really cool. But I mean, I even had that, I just did like another cover of a magazine, and I was like, you expect it to be a different feeling.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, I'm very proud of it, but it is not, I feel, at the end of the day, what is like the
it's
most
extravagant.
It's not
a defining moment.
No, and it shouldn't be necessarily a peak point. I thought I had a peak point about 2 years ago, and I'm so glad that like I moved past that, because I want there to be peaks and valleys at every single point, and I want them to all have value. Yeah. I think that there is so much value in the dark seasons of our life, just as much as they are in the highlights. And I think it's important to not just chase the highlights, because there becomes like that destination addiction. Like, what if you thought that at 1 million followers you would have been happy in life? And what if you thought you got to 1 million? Like, what happens there? Are you just happy forever? No.
Yeah.
More comes out of it, right? So like that destination addiction just kind of moves on to the next thing.
Well, and I think that's exactly it. Like, for me, career-wise, it's never going to be enough. Like, I mean, because now, you know, I have this kind of entrepreneurial spirit with doing this stuff, it's never going to be enough. I always want to grow. I always want to make more. I always want to expand into different businesses and stuff and different projects, because that's what's fun and like fulfilling to me career-wise. But when you put so much emphasis on only one part of your character, then that holds all the weight. So that becomes even more anxiety inducing and even more scary to picture losing. Because I remember I had called Alyssa at one point last year, and I was like, Alyssa, like, I don't know how to step away from this, because this is everything that I am. Like, this is everything I've built. And to step away would basically be saying, okay, then I'm just not going to be me anymore, because that's all that I am. And, and I had to let go of the idea that me as a person wasn't just my career and what I had built, but all of these other things were equally as important. And when I started putting importance, you know, spreading it around kind of thing, then that suddenly wasn't as scary. Like, the idea of like losing everything isn't as scary to me anymore, because I'm like, that's not everything though.
Yeah.
You know, like, I still have my partner. I still have my family. I still have my friends. I still have my dogs. I have my other interests. I have all of this experience, and I just don't do that as a job anymore.
I think that's so cool that you said that, because it's really difficult. I think anybody who is branded themselves, yeah. there's a lot of people who've done yeah. it, and we don't have that separation between work and life.
Yeah.
Because you look at somebody, let's say like an executive in a company, and they start at 9 a.m. and they're such hard workers. They work 60 hours a week. They don't come home till 7 o'clock and all that stuff, but they still come home.
Yeah.
And they don't have that work, and maybe it's on their mind and maybe it's buzzing in the background, but it is not reliant on like how they show up as a human being, or if they misstep this small thing and this like part. Like, I think there's been a million mistakes that we probably said, like misstepped things and different things like that, and it becomes like, you're right, it becomes like a character attack.
Yeah.
And it's like really hard, I think, when you like your brand is like you as a person and you're creating this trust and stuff, and you also don't have the chance to be a real human. Like, what if I make a mistake? That's yeah. the one thing, can I be honest, like why I was so scared about starting a podcast, because I kept thinking everything else I write down, and I have a chance to look at it, and I have a chance to read it, and I have a chance to reflect. And when you're talking, you're just like, it's an outpour. And ugh. What if I say the wrong thing?
Yeah. I mean, we're going through that right now too, because it's so scary. And I really struggle with this, because, you know, I think it's important to hold people accountable. Absolutely. I don't think that people should just get away with everything. But, you know, when we get into this mentality of like this cancel culture that's become so, so huge, it really does come down to the fact that like we aren't, you're setting a stage of where we aren't allowed to make mistakes. But the reality is that like for me, I started doing this when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, obviously I didn't have it all figured out. I still don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make mistakes throughout my early 20s and the rest of my life. And it's unfortunate, because people want to, like, hold this mistake over your head forever. And it gets you to a point where you're like, well, can I be honest? Can I say these things? And we're going through that right now with a podcast where we feel so like, ooh, like,
this is a new kind of vulnerable.
Yeah. And like, should we even release this topic? Because we feel like, did we do our due diligence? Did I say something that I shouldn't have said? Like, are people going to take this the wrong way? Like, it's so hard to even like operate because you're so scared. 100%
know what you mean. Like, I had this one girl on my podcast, and she kept referring to women like in fat bodies and stuff like that, and I just kept being like, oh my god,
please stop,
this
saying
is
that.
Gonna can you not? And then she goes, and for those of you that don't know me, I'm very like integrated into like the fat communities, and a lot of women, while they still I like to identify the word as like plus size, a lot of them also like to, if anybody's listened, they probably already heard Kenzie's episode, but she talks about like how fat has been like reclaimed, and it's like a now power word. So she's like, so I'd like to speak into both. And I was like, oh, like, amazing. So now the education piece around it kind of like alleviates that. And I think sometimes we forget that, like, yeah, could you imagine if everybody's life, we just like looked back and we're like, hey, remember that thing you did in high school? Yeah. You're a piece of shit now. Like, yeah. No. Like, we've all learned and we've grown. And there's so much changes, especially when we're in this space of, it went from being incredibly curated and now everyone wants to be relatable. And then you're relatable and then you share too much. And like, you know, somebody said to me the other day, they're like, maybe you should stop spreading your legs for the internet and go and spread them for your husband. And I was like, excuse me?
Oh,
like,
my God.
But like, and then other people are like, thank you for being like real and relatable, or like, thank you for this. And it's like, it just reminds you of the fact that like, you're never going to win. You can never really make everybody happy. And I think what I've come down to trying to remind myself of is I'd rather be uncomfortable and having the conversations and doing something that I think at the end of the day, there's something about podcasts and there's something about being able to put your phone down and listen and like, I don't know, like tune out and like learn something from somebody new. Like, you, I wouldn't have heard these stories from you like if it wasn't for a conversation like this. And I think that that's why this medium is growing, is that we're kind of getting tired of like pictures and stuff. We want to start like feeding our minds in a new way. But speaking in terms of like our minds and our progress and our growth and all these things, Alyssa, you've been like a friend in this. So how has it been being a support system to somebody like Samantha? You're like not in the world, but you're now seeing the world, and it must be such an experience for you. Thanks again for the intro cough.
Yeah.
That's your signature move now.
I struggle from chronic sinusitis. So
what is that?
It's, oh my goodness, I have many body ailments, which I could do a whole podcast about. But
I hope you do. I can't wait.
But it's basically just like a chronic sinus infection. And they can't figure out why. They think it's my tonsils because I have diseased tonsils. So I'm trying to get those Bad Boys Out. But anyway, I do.
Disease tonsils. That's like what they're called.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's like such an awful thing to have to live with. I'm sorry. It's my disease tonsil.
Yeah. Well, and it's annoying because a lot of doctors, because I've had this for like 3 years now, and we did all the tests. We did CT scans. We did, they checked if I had a deviated septum, nasal polyps, like that we've done our due diligence, and nobody had, except for my mom, she's gonna be like, I told you so, said that it was my tonsils. And then Sam and I, we do everything together. She was at my dentist appointment the other day.
You're kidding.
And we were there because I have, why were we there?
Because you were getting the thing made.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Because we were there because I have TMJ. And so they wanted to give me an appliance. And he was like, oh, you clear your throat a lot. Like, do you realize that your tonsils are, like, very diseased? And I was like, oh, no. He's like, if I opened my mouth and I had those in my throat, I would be, like, ripping them out. And I'm like, cool. So basically, long story short, I'll probably not be so ill in the future. But I am. I chronically have the flu.
Oh, my gosh. So your intro cough is, like, a little bit of a signature right now.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. To your question, I feel like from the very beginning of Sam's career, like, when she was talking about when you asked her about her, like, big career moments, the first one for me, honestly, would have been, like, I think it was even before you maybe had Instagram or you were, like, quite small, I'm air quoting, but small at the time. And she had invited me to come to this photo shoot where she was trying on these clothes for a company that was, I can't remember what it was, but it was just like, it never came to fruition anyway. But I was just so proud of her. I was like looking in, like sitting in a chair, just like in this like smallish studio it was just such small scale from what I've seen from her now. And at that moment, I was just like, wow, this is so freaking cool. Like, I was like, my friend is boss. And like moving on from that, just like the silver hair trend and people in my line of work, because I used to be in the bar and restaurant industry, being like, you know, Samantha, like, oh, my goodness, she's so beautiful. Can you get a picture or like whatever? And I'm just like, this is crazy. But it's been, yeah, it's been really cool, like navigating my relationship with her, because I worry sometimes, like, what do people think of me in that instance too? Like, do they think that I'm, especially because we've started this podcast together and because I live with her and because Sam is so generous as a friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, do people, I think I brought this up to you the other day. I'm like, do people think I'm a freaking clout chaser? Like, I don't know.
A what chaser?
Clout. Like,
oh, I've never even heard that term.
It's like where you like try to hang out with famous people or whatever.
I mean, look at you go if you are. Yeah. But.
I really played the long game. 10 years ago.
10 years ago, I invested in this girl because she had an energy.
I switched classes to sit next to her. No. But it's been really inspiring, and I've said this so many times. I really struggled with trying to find my passions, and one day Sam just sat me down and she was like, I can't listen to you talk about she said, I can't talk to you about this anymore because it makes me so angry because you have so much potential.
Oh
yeah. And every time she was just, I could cry every time. She was like, you do know what you want to do, you do know what you love, you're just not investing in yourself. And so finally she was like, I'm really worried about you. I'm gonna cry. She was like, I'm really worried about you, and I think that you need to make some changes, or I'm really like concerned for you. And so I literally went back to Toronto and I quit my job and I moved in with Sam, and that's when we kind of like started the podcast and stuff.
And this is pretty recent for you.
Yeah, no, it was a huge like life change. And like every single day, even when I first got here, because I was in the bar industry, I used to do my makeup every single day.
Yeah.
And I put on cute outfits. And now like you're looking at me, I have no makeup on. And
I mean, you're adorable as shit though, so it doesn't really matter. But you guys are also wearing matching pants, which I would like everyone to be aware of. It's not just like, oh, they have the same style jeans. You're basically twins right now. Yeah. You both have like a grayish whitish hoodie and like camo leggings.
Hilarious. I honestly wonder if people sometimes think that we're twins or something, because we do everything together and we're
often matching.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But with the podcast and stuff, because it's it's just like such a new foray into mm-hmm. this world for me. And even yesterday I came to Sam because we got our first kind of like update email from our managers and people were saying some stuff and it really hit me deep. And Sam's like, I'm basically talking you off the same ledge that I have to talk myself off every single day.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I got a math equation wrong, or what I said about a topic wasn't that person's experience with the topic. And I'm just like, who am I to be putting this out? And like, am I fact checking enough? Like, am I an expert? Like, is this even my place? And
imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's basically having to say like, okay, but that's one person out of the 69,000 people that watch that podcast.
Yeah.
Who has something to say about it. But I just, it's so amazing to watch somebody you love so deeply. I don't want to say successful because that puts kind of like a monetary value, but believe in their passions so much that they're willing to be like, no, I'm not going to follow that 9 to 5, go to university. You know what I mean? Like, which is great for some people and whatever, but it's so inspiring to watch that person and be like, okay, and then I reached this goal. What goal can I reach now?
Yeah, and I think it's so nice to see that you have kind of supported her throughout all of this, because I've lost friends through this journey and it's been really hard because, like, admittedly, as a bad friend at times, because I didn't know how to do it all. I didn't know how to balance. I didn't know how to, like you were saying, like, you know, Samantha had to kind of talk you off the ledge, the same ledge that she's talking herself off of. Like, that's kind of the hard thing when you're putting so much of yourself out there. And I kind of retracted from a lot of friendships, and I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I definitely, like, lost some friends just because they straight up, like, didn't like my Instagram fame, or, like, there was, like, some jealousy. Like, there's a lot of, like, stuff that can happen. But, like, I literally, sometimes I feel so guilty about the fact that I invest basically in one friend. And even with that, I mean, she invests way more because she's so good at meeting me where I'm at. Like, we have really busy lives. And so we, like, do Costco runs together, or we do these different things that, like, work in the lifestyle. Cause I'm like, I don't know. I have so, like, you're giving so much of yourself. It's really hard to find friends that can, you know, meet you where you're at, or, like, move as friends through that when, like, you know, like, Sam, like, you're giving so much of yourself all the time.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, like, have that friendship. So I think you guys are, like, obviously found this, like, little bit of a magic equation.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, like, because in the beginning, people weren't, like, people that I knew personally weren't supportive of it at all. Like, they thought it was so, like, stupid and, like, superficial kind of thing. And they were like, oh, okay, wow, you're really, like, investing in your beauty and, like, hoping that's going to work out. But, like,
so dismissive.
It is. And, like,
it did. Thank you, by the way, everyone listening. It worked out.
But, you know, like, Alyssa from the beginning was really, like, just supportive of it all. She thought it was really cool kind of thing. But I also know that, like, that friendship never changed. Like, she was never going to stay my friend if I was being a bad friend, or if we were in a falling out just because of who I was. Because we have had falling outs, and it didn't matter who I was or wasn't. And you know, like, it's not like she paid more attention to me when I was more successful, because she was just living her own life and she knew that we just genuinely were friends. Like, that's not a part of our friendship at all. Like, when we are together, we don't talk at all about my life as an influencer because it's not a part of our friendship.
Which I think is so interesting, because I think there's so much information about how to, like, make male-female relationships work or romantic relationships work, but there's not a lot on friendship. And I think one of the hardest experiences I've ever gone through is, like, a friend divorce.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing there. I'm like, we don't even get to talk about it. There's no, like, resolve to it. We just, like, live different lives now and, like, pretend like that never happened. Like, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And it's made me, like, one thing that I always remind myself of when I'm dealing with my best friend Ariana is, like, sometimes we have made each other upset, like, accidentally, obviously not purposeful, but it happens. And there's a part of me that's like, if I don't friggin', like, there was one point, this is, like, so shallow of me, but she was hanging out with this new friend that she, like, obviously, you know, when you meet someone new and they're, like, a shiny new person, and you're just, like, she was in that phase and she was, like, spending a lot of time with this person. They were working together and they were doing all this stuff. And I was, like, so jealous that there was so much going on that I wasn't a part of, that I wasn't being invited to, and all of these things. And it started to, like, I felt so left out, and I recognized immediately that I was being shorter with her, that I was, like, not really being a great friend. But there's not a lot of, like, tools and, like, salt, like, relationship help books when it comes to, like, having a strong friendship. And I remember texting her being like, this is going to be, like, and I'm such a conflict avoider. And I just remember thinking, like, this is going to be so uncomfortable. Like, how am I going to have this conversation with her? And I was just like, I've been a shitty friend. Like, you haven't known it, but I've been, like, jealous, and I've been short, and I've been all these things because I felt this. And she was just like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so glad you said that. Like, I'm sorry. It's just the circumstances of like me working with this person and obviously spending a lot of time together. And like, it was so dumb, but it was, I needed to like validate the fact that that's like where I was at and what I was feeling. And then I remember another time, like I said something online in a comment to somebody else that actually really hurt her. And I didn't mean to, obviously. And she called me out on it. And there's a part of that I was like, I understand now that we call each other out on the stuff that hurts us because we actually care about it working out.
Yeah.
There's actually part of it that's like, the friendship doesn't mean like you go to just the dentist together, apparently. It's like a relationship that needs sometimes just as much work, and not everyone lives together and like shares lives in that way. And so it takes a little bit more intention and time. And I think in this age of social media, it's very easy to just like, oh, I'm friends with you because I know what's happening in your life. But yeah. Do I know you, and do I know what's going on there? So it's, I don't know. I'm finding it so fascinating, like sitting here and talking to you guys, and you've like worked out how this kind of like works out for you. And I think that's really, really cool. A couple last things I want to ask you, Sam. What do you wish you knew before you started? Like, if you could look back now before all this started, what do you wish you knew?
I don't know. It's so hard because, like, on one hand, like, I wish that I was less ignorant to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I'm like, I like the person that I'm becoming. And so I would be scared to tell myself anything that could interfere with that, because I'm proud of my growth. I'm proud of, like, you know, the things that I've been able to overcome. I'm proud of the things that I've been, like, aware of in myself, and a lot of that came through my mistakes. But you know, I would be scared to interfere with that at all, because yeah. I don't want to change the course of this. Is the most disappointing answer too.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is, because I think it's real, and I think it's sometimes I think we often look back on life and we're like, oh, I wish that didn't happen. I wish that pain never happened. Like, I remember when I was going through my divorce and stuff, I kept thinking, like, why me? Like, what did I do? Like, why – what made me deserve to have to go through this pain? And what I didn't recognize was that there was so much going on in there that was a lesson that would lead me into – honestly, if I met my husband now and I had never had that marriage before and I never had all those years of learning and, like, going through, like, the pain of a divorce, I wouldn't be able to appreciate what every single day means in a different relationship. And I would meet him and I would 100% take him for granted. And I know that now. Like, I know that, like, all of that before was meant to, like, build me into a stronger person today. I understand now that weight loss and that, like, self-perfecting made me into having a greater insight of all these things now. I understand that, like, my weight loss was not the most important thing about me, but it taught me something. I'm not going to be ashamed of it, but it taught me so much more. And so I think that that's not an uninteresting answer, an unsatisfying answer. I think it's just very real. I think it's very, like, honoring to, like, I don't think everything has to be splashy and exciting for it to be like relatable. Yeah. I mean, that would have been cool too, but
maybe you could prepare that for next time.
Whatever. Okay, last question.
I'm ready for you.
What are you geeking out on right now?
What am I? Well, I feel like, honestly, the podcast, because we've been so, like, hyper focused on it.
Really?
Yeah, just because, like, we're trying to figure out, like, okay, how can we make this better? Like, how can we make this, like, so interesting, so, like, satisfying to listen to, kind of thing? And we're trying to just really, like, set our sights there. And for me, like, I love a new project.
Yeah.
Because I do get really, like, just, like, burnt out kind of thing doing the same stuff all the time. So that's kind of what...
That's... Okay, I lied. Not my last answer. Not my last question.
Okay.
Just kidding. What made you guys do the podcast? Tell us what it's about. I want people to understand, like, you guys, again, like, you have this, like, crazy chemistry, so I think it's going to be so fun to listen to. But it's called Approachable. Where did that come from? What is, like, the roots of what you're doing? If you even have a plan. I mean, you could be like me and just be like, I don't know. Just doing stuff.
I honestly, somebody asked me this the other day, and I was like, ugh, I can't even remember who brought it up. But when I moved in here, was it you, Sam, that said you wanted to start a podcast?
Yeah, because I had gone on my friend Sammy's podcast.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is, like, so fun. I had been toying around with the idea of doing it, and then I had gone on her podcast, and I was like, oh, this is, like, actually really fun kind of thing. And then so we kind of started talking about it. I was like, oh, it'd be kind of cool.
And then Sam, I kept bringing it up, and then Sam kept, like, being like, yeah, for sure. And then I was like, okay, like, I feel like I know Sam pretty well. And so I'm like, if I keep bringing it up, it's going to be off the table. And so I stopped bringing it up. And then one day she just like came back from somewhere or whatever and was like, okay, so let's do this podcast. And I was like, yes.
I'm ready. Here's the equipment.
Yeah. And yeah, so we kind of started trying to first, what came first was we were trying to figure out a name so that we could kind of like figure out what our vibe was.
Yeah.
And then that didn't work. And then so we were like,
wait,
okay,
what was the original? Do you have like an original name and then you landed on this?
No, it was more so just like the way we were going about
okay,
it.
Gotcha.
And then so we were like, okay, let's try to figure out what our vibe is. And so we sat down and we just kind of started like shooting out like adjectives and words and stuff like that, trying to figure out what our message was. And it was things like, okay, let's chat or like let's talk or something like that. Like it wasn't as exciting as you'd think. But then at some point somebody said like, I want to make these topics like approachable. And then like Sam and I both looked at each other and we were like, and we quickly Googled if that name was taken and it wasn't.
I love that.
Yeah.
I jokingly called mine the Papaya Podcast and now I can't get rid of it. And then someone was like, do you know that papayas kind of look like vaginas? And I was like, vagina power. Now that's what we're doing. Papayas forever. I was like, it's not, it didn't mean to be that way. I was like, we're just nicknaming it until it ends up being like, we have an actual name. And I was like, well, we never found one. So it's still the Papaya Podcast.
I like it. Yeah. But yeah, basically, our message I think is just to have conversations, and I don't think that we need them to be like super crazy or whatever. Like they can just be whatever, but we just,
if you guys want to sit and talk about like earwax and dentist appointments, I would listen.
We're gonna make that more approachable for you.
Thank you. I feel seen, I feel heard,
you feel validated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, do you guys have, like, inspiring podcasts that you listen to that kind of spurred that on? Like, Sam, you're saying you're geeking out on it right now, but there, like, you being a guest on one, were you a podcast listener before that?
I was, but not really, like, personal podcasts much, more so, like, storytelling ones.
Oh, yeah, like the Up and Vanished. And,
yeah,
like,
and, like,
all of
Dr.
Those.
Death and, like, Dear John.
That one. Oh, Dear God, John was – wait, no, Dear John? Dirty John.
Dirty John.
I was like, wait, is there another one? Yeah, I've listened to them all. I was the same way. I really like the storytelling ones, but then there's something like a lot of the more relatable ones made me kind of check out of like, I don't know, the everyday stuff. It made me feel like I could, especially in those times where you kind of feel lonely. I think we don't realize like how that's like such a thing for a lot of people, regardless of what their life looks like. So when you get to sit down and like listen to somebody else's story and find that like relatability, I think that's really cool. I'm very excited for you guys. I think it's going to be a smash hit.
Thank you.
I'm also excited for you to deal with your disease tonsils.
Thank you so much.
Do you also have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram.
But it's not like a thing for you. I just like want to make sure people know who you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean.
We want to follow this journey of your disease. Yeah.
We need updates.
We need updates.
I basically post my cat on my stories and that's where it lands. But if you guys want to see him, he's perfect. And it's just.
Oh, perfect. That's hilarious.
Yeah. At Alyssa Nick Anderson, I guess. I don't know.
That's amazing. I'll link it. I'll link it. I'm going to do the things. That's really exciting. Honestly, thank you both so, so much. It has been lovely. We've been here for like 2.5 hours just like straight talking and it's so fun. I will definitely add all the links. But like, yeah, thanks for your time. Thanks for lending your voice and Sam, your story. It's really cool.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was really fun.
Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of the Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then.